Okay.
You notice the table's missing tonight. Those of you who haven't been here, we have a table with seven lamps of fire. These represent the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's only one Holy Spirit, but there are seven basic ministries that the Holy Spirit does. Now, for every born-again person, they have within them the Holy Spirit of God. Who better to bear witness at the judgment seat of Christ than the Holy Spirit? Because He was there. Everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you do, there is no more accurate witness of all those things than the Holy Spirit. And so if you ever wondered, well, how is the Lord going to judge me when I stand before Him? It is through these seven lamps, seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we've been studying them one by one. We're almost at the end, but not quite. There are some very important ministries of the Holy Spirit wherein we will be judged. And I'd ask you, first of all, to come to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And in our English, the word Spirit is capitalized because it refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, is that an option? Is that a request that God gives to us? It's a command, isn't it? It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, we mentioned this morning about how sometimes it's very difficult to maintain a steady growth when it comes to our faith. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you feel like, man, I don't have any faith at all. And then there are other times where it's kind of mediocre. Yeah, I'm going to move ahead by faith, but I'm not filled with faith. And it's the very same way with the Holy Spirit. There are some days you can wake up and you feel immediately the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Then there are other days you wake up and you ask, God, where are you? I don't feel your presence anywhere close. And these are common things. They're not unusual. But for a believer, we shouldn't settle for things like that. We're commanded by God to be filled with His Spirit. That means that we need to do whatever is necessary in our lives to have that filling that comes from God. Now, some people think that it's easy. They go to a seminar, they go to a crusade, they go someplace where they say, oh, the Holy Spirit's there, you come there, and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you some clips, and I really hesitate doing this, but I know some of you need to see for yourself where some of these preachers are coming from, and it isn't from the Bible. I think that you need to see for yourself what they say they do and how they place upon people what they call the filling of the Spirit. And it isn't biblical at all. So let's start, and I may ask you to pause for a second, Ashley. But go ahead.
Ushers, we'll pick her up here quickly. I want to show you a person beside themselves. I'm going to give you an example of a person. Pick her up. Bring her back here. She's not drunk as you suppose. The power of God hit her when she was 2 years and 3 months.
Okay, why don't you stop there?
This
Did you notice what he said? The power of God hit her when she was 2 years old and 3 months. Does a child at that age have the ability to make spiritual decisions? No. Now, I'll give you some background so you can look for certain things. This woman is the adopted daughter of Howard Brown, whatever, the guy who's the preacher there. Howard Haywood Brown.
Rodney
Howard. Okay. She is the adopted daughter. At 2 years and 3 months old, she supposedly was hit with the power of God. But I want you to see what they did with this child. I want you to listen very carefully to where in the house they put this child. And then I want you to see what he did. And, well, I'll tell you, he read Bible stories to her. And then what she did in reaction to Bible stories. Okay, go ahead.
This anointing hit her when she was 2 years and 3 months old. We'd come back from one of the meetings, and we were looking after her. We have a walk-in closet. My wife put her in the closet because it's darker there, and she could sleep, and she was crying. And I said, bring the baby here. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, bring baby, put her here. She said, let her sleep. I said, oh, bring her here, because she's so let her get the paint off her face, you know. You know how it is, ladies. And so she brought Taylor Buck, put her there in the bed, and I started to read a Bible story to her. And then I began to talk to her about Jesus and coming to your heart. And then I said, and I prayed with her. She prayed just like a little, you know, little baby prayed to accept Jesus. And then I said, and he fills you with his Holy Spirit. And when I said that, the power of God hit her, and she started to laugh uncontrollably, and she laughed for 12 minutes. My wife ran out of the bathroom. I was crying.
When an almighty and holy God does something so wonderful as to save you, forgive you of all your sins, does a 2 year old, 2 years and 3 months old, is it human, is it normal for that person to burst into laughter?
No.
Not at all. Okay, keep going.
He was crying, and we watched the little one. Little baby, let me tell you. And she said, Pop-Ups, it's so funny. It is so funny.
What's so funny about salvation?
And she's been like that ever since. I mean, if there's any anointing, she'll get it. If you don't get it, she'll get your drink. If you don't take the drink, she will get your drink. I ain't ever put it down. She'll get your drink if you don't want it.
Yeah.
I know this is different, but, you know, I didn't intend to go this way. Told to begin with, I had a good sermon. Thoroughly scripted. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Amen. I learned a long time ago to follow him. Amen. All right, we'll see what we can do here. Okay.
Okay, yeah. Now this
laughter is supposedly an evidence of the filling of the Spirit, according to their doctrine. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. The whole auditorium is in laughter. Sometimes people fall out of their seats, laughing in the aisles, and, you know, doing things that are certainly not what the Holy Spirit of God does. Okay. Okay, lights. I think you get the idea that, unfortunately, this is what many people have come to believe is evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, tragically, a lot of people move their lives around that type of experience. And I just want you to think for a minute. A two-year-old, 2 years, 3 months old, supposedly filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that can't be done. But the evidence of the Holy Spirit is not going to be laughter about something so serious as your eternal soul. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, and I've seen the same guy start on a resurrection day, well, they called it an Easter message, start talking about what Jesus was going through and then just breaking out into laughter. I'm sorry. I think the work of the Holy Spirit would be more tears than laughter. And I think we need to realize that there is a biblical foundation for what to expect when a person is filled with the Spirit. And you can read the book of Acts and you'll see what that is. But it's awfully important for us to break away from the modern concepts that really are not of God. I mean, think about it. What causes a child who's being read a Bible story to break out in laughter for 12 minutes at that Bible story? Is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? No. What is it then? Is it another spirit? Yeah. Exactly. Did you see this guy walking around hissing and sticking his tongue out like a snake? Did you catch that? This is what goes on. And then people come away and say, wow, what a spirit-filled service. No, it wasn't a spirit-filled service from God. Was it spirit-filled? Yeah. Wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. We're looking at this table. And the question was, how are we as believers going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? Is there going to be some huge movie screen God's going to run through our lives there? No. It's going to be the events that have taken place in our lives. The Bible tells us it's going to be on the basis of what we have done, not thought, done. And those things are going to pass over every one of the seven lamps or ministries of the Holy Spirit. And he is either going to burn up those works because he wasn't involved, or he's going to refine them as gold, silver, and precious stones because you yielded to the Spirit of God. person can be filled with an awful lot of things, and we started on that last week. Person can be filled with a spirit of wrath, can be filled with a spirit of anger, can be filled with all different types of spirits. But the Spirit of God has a unique and deliberate purpose in our lives. And we need to be anchored in the Bible to understand what that is. And I'd encourage every one of you, because we don't want to get too far away from Revelation, but I'd encourage every one of you this week to look at the book of Acts, and you will see what the Holy Spirit does. Now, we've read many times in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Holy Spirit of God gives spiritual gifts, abilities. A lot of the gifts you have may be through DNA. You may be very talented in drawing or art from the time you're a little kid, way before you got saved. That came through heredity. You may be very good with math. A lot of us aren't. I'm not. But you may have a special ability in math that came through DNA. But there are spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about those things. And one of the things that the filling of God's Holy Spirit does is to activate those gifts that God has given to us. We unwrap the package. We say, wow, look what the Lord has given to me. Now I have to find a way to use this. I want to touch on another controversial area. And this could take, a couple of weeks if we went into detail on all that the Bible says about it. But very often in the book of Acts, you will find that when people were filled with the Spirit of God, they also spoke with what King James has as tongues. That word literally means languages. Literally means languages. So that, and the Bible says this in the book of Acts, that people heard what was being preached in their own language. Somebody was from Spain, they'd speak in Spanish. Somebody from Germany, then they'd speak in German. And this was an ability that was given to them. Now keep in mind, Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't very educated. And he didn't speak Hebrew very well. As a matter of fact, his own language, Aramaic, he didn't speak very well either. And so when he was warming his hands, you remember when Jesus was in the palace being judged by the Sanhedrin, while Peter was outside warming his hands, the soldiers noted, along with the milkmaid, that, hey, he's one of them because he doesn't speak very good Hebrew. And yet on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit descended upon them. They were ready. They were willing. Their hearts were open. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them gifts. And one of the gifts, and see, only one was mentioned. There were others. The one gift that was mentioned was the gift of languages. And here Peter is, barely able to speak Hebrew correctly, and suddenly he's able to speak in languages from people that came from 500-600 miles to Jerusalem because it was a feast day. He never studied these languages. None of them did. But God gave it to them. Now, I think it's important for us to realize that is the nature of speaking with tongues when it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is in languages that are meant to communicate the gospel. Now, some of you may be familiar with the term Azusa Street. This is where a lot of the Pentecostals get their ideas that, tongues came when the people got filled with the Spirit of God. And, I considered blowing this up and giving this to you. We went to one of these churches years ago, and I won't mention which one right now, but it was down in New Orleans. And or Baton Rouge, and we went to this bookstore that was there, And we picked up these copies of what is called the Apostolic Faith. And very, very fine print. But when it talked about the Holy Spirit filling people and them speaking with tongues, here is the source that a lot of people use, and they won't read all of it. It said that they spoke with Russian, Greek, Spanish, whatever. There's an article about a young couple that were filled with the Spirit, and they just started speaking in Russian. Well, they had to have a translator there, and that translator told what that was, and they were talking about people getting born again and how they needed the salvation in the Lord Jesus. Well, what did they do with that? When you have people in a church who are speaking other languages, other than the general consensus of, like today, we'd speak in English. If somebody came here and spoke in Eskimo, we'd need a translator, wouldn't we? And so what happened was the church got together and said, you know what? There's a Russian community outside of Los Angeles. We need to get these people to preach the gospel to these Russians that are there. And you know what? They got the money up. They sent them there. And these people were able to speak in Russian, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is one of the gifts that God gives when a person is filled and is submissive to Him. Now, there never was at any of these legitimate meetings where the Holy Spirit was working greatly, there never was a time where they stood around and we have the gobbledygook that so many people try to pass off as a work of the Holy Spirit. God is not the author of confusion. And that is what brings confusion. And that is why some of the churches today, and I know of a couple, where they invite people to come, they may be filled with the Spirit and they speak in another language, but there's no translator. What good does that do for the Lord? No message is communicated. It results in confusion. And that is not of God. So I want to preface what we're looking at tonight by that video, by other scriptures that tell us what we should expect, so that we know what we're driving for. We know where we're headed in our relationship with God. And it really is very simple. Does it involve your emotions? Oh, yeah. Does it involve your power? Preferably not. Does it involve things that you haven't studied before or maybe even heard of before? Sure. And certainly that was the case at the day of Pentecost. But I think it's important for us to realize that the gift of the filling, well, not the gift, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is something that every one of us are commanded to seek, commanded to receive. Now, we're not getting out on a limb with any garbledygook and nonsense. We're staying strictly with Scripture. And I think what you'll find in Scripture is people not rolling over on the ground, not pretending that they're snakes, not pretending that they're headless chickens and running around. What you find in Scripture is that when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they are enabled to go out using whatever gifts God gave to them to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It isn't to make people wealthy. It isn't to provide all sorts of emotional highs for everybody so they can say, well, one day I got filled with the Spirit. Everything the Holy Spirit does is to exalt Jesus. And so this is what we can expect when we truly seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. You've heard this illustration over and over again. You take a cup of water and you fill it halfway. Now, if you fill it with pebbles so that it's right up to the brim, that's more or less the way a lot of Christians are. Not filled with the Spirit, but they have the Spirit. They're not full of the gifts and purposes of God, but they're about halfway there. Now, what happens when a believer comes under conviction? Of course, this is the most hated thing among people. It's just human nature. We don't want to have people criticize us. But even worse, we don't want the Holy Spirit to convict us and criticize what we've done. And yet if we don't allow that, if we don't seek conviction, then we stay at that point where the Holy Spirit is present within us, but for much of our lives we are grieving Him. That's not a good thing, because that will all come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Seven flames of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. So how do we get more filled with the Spirit of God? There are degrees of filling. There are degrees of filling. We all know that. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, don't deny this. You may have somebody in your house going to the refrigerator, and you say, can you give me about a 3/4 of a cup of chocolate milk while you're there? Well, that isn't full, is it? That's 3/4. Sometimes we want to just swish down a pill, and you say to somebody, just put a couple inches in the cup so I can swallow this thing. That isn't full either, is it? But the very same ingredient could be in either the 3/4 filled or the 2 inches filled. Very same ingredient. The Holy Spirit, there's just no substitute for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to fill every believer. And in the Ephesians 5:18, we saw that was that was a command. That was a command. So how do we get filled? Well, for one thing, we got to get rid of the pebbles that are in the cup. How do you do that? Well, you have to identify a pebble and say, okay, this pebble's got to go. And you take it out. You don't want it there. And that pebble is a part of your life that shouldn't be there. Could be a bad habit. Could be any number of things. But you reach in there and you take it out and you say, Lord, I'm sorry that it was even there. And will you fill me? And so the Lord, the space that the pebble took up, the Lord can fill you with His Spirit. For every pebble you take out, that part of your life that isn't in submission to the Lord, for each one that you take out, it makes more room for the Spirit of God to fill you. All right, now, you are filled with the Spirit of God. Well, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And in that we have the account of the day of Pentecost. And in verse 2 it says, suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, number one, it filled the house. A place. Now, I believe that God sanctifies places. Moses was walking in the desert taking care of sheep. And here's a voice. Moses, Moses, take the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Wasn't everywhere. Wasn't where he came from. But here's the presence of the Lord. And Moses says, you better honor it. You better honor it. There are so many other scriptures that we could look at today, but we just need to recognize how important it is to honor the Holy Spirit, who is in you if you're saved. He's in you. And he really wants to take over. I think some of the most effective people in ministry are sometimes people who have hit bottom and their cup was so filled with pebbles and stones that there was hardly any room for the Holy Spirit. But when they realized, man, I just mess up my life without the help of God. I'm not strong enough. When they come to realize this and they start throwing these pebbles out, getting rid of the stones in their lives, they can be filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit that they never had before. And they need it. All of us need it. It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. One of the interesting things about the Apostle Peter is he was filled on the day of Pentecost. Then a little bit later, I think it was he and John, were called before the Sanhedrin again. And they threatened them. They said, don't you go around preaching in the name of Jesus. You're causing shame to come against us. We're not going to tolerate it. And so we're warning you that if you do this again, your lives are at stake. Well, let's get a pebble or a stone by the name of fear. Write the name fear on it. Put it in that cup. Is there more or less of the Holy Spirit? Less. There's less. When they were released, they went to other Christians and they said, we got to pray. You see, there's such an easy solution. They didn't go to the Christian bookstore and get a self-help guide on how to be refilled with the Spirit. They didn't do that. They went to the brethren and they said, pray for us. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The place shook. They were filled. Once again. Now we have at least three instances where Peter had some pebbles or some stones put in that cup. And he wasn't as filled with the Spirit as he was before. And the only way that he really could be filled is by taking those pebbles that got in there, identifying them and throwing them out. Getting rid of them. There's a scripture over in, I believe it's 1 Peter, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Didn't come from God. Didn't come from God. It is so important for us to make room for the Holy Spirit. When we're doing our own thing, when we're doing what we want to, then we're in trouble. Our goal should be to make what we want to be what the Holy Spirit wanted. That's what we should work at. And then once we have that committed to the Lord, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. You're going to find your life going so much better, so much more power, so much more successfully. That's what the Lord wants for us. You find Peter having to be refilled. I don't know how many of you have had an experience in your life previously where you said, Lord, just empty me of everything that is evil, everything that has a bad thought to it. Lord, I just want you to take it away. And you find the Lord helping you do this. But I mean, you got to reach in and confess it yourself. And he'll help you with it. But that may have been a long time ago. How do you stand tonight? What is your relationship with the Lord tonight? Because if the Lord comes tonight, don't forget, when the Lord comes, there's going to be some part of the earth that's in sleep mode. The opposite side of where you are, maybe. You may have daylight, they're going to have night, and they're asleep. And it could be vice versa. They could have light and you might be asleep. So if the Lord was to come today, how many stones and rocks do you have in that cup? That cup we call our bodies. How much is there? Are we really ready to give up the essence of us? You know, we have all this theology. We hear from time to time people saying, well, I want to grow up in Christ. I want to be more like him. You know, you can't be more like him when you're wanting to hold on to yourself. I mean, Jesus pointed that out over and over to the disciples. That except you deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. It's a denial of self. That's a hard thing. And some people battle with it for months and months, excuse me, before they have success. Others can get so frustrated with themselves, it's just a matter of moments, and they're able to get rid of those stones and pebbles. A believer filled with the Spirit of God can handle the things that come against them. Let's go over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Take a look at verse 50. It says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You know, one of the things we mentioned, one of the works of evil spirits is obsession. Obsession. That what that means is, and this can come against a Christian, it's not possession, it's obsession. Where a person is constantly on a downer, because somebody said something to them that hurt their feelings. And a lot of people have this happen to them. They may have parents, relatives. They may have people in their lives that turn on them, they think. And so they dwell on this all the time. And this becomes one of the obsessive characteristics of evil spirits. Now, I want you to consider what the disciples were going through. They just had gone into the city, and they were preaching the gospel, and there were some women there that stirred up other people and said, oh, these people did this, these people said that. And so it seemed like the whole area was turning against them, and the city leaders came, said, you have to go, and basically kicked them out of the city. I want you to see the work of the Holy Spirit, because normally a person would be angry. How can they do this to me? How can they throw me out of the city? Why, we're just there to present the gospel. What's wrong with that? What fault do they find in us? We're not raising up a revolution to shoot everybody. We're not planting bombs around the city. We came there with love to reach them for the Lord Jesus. And you know, they could go on and on and on for days just thinking about how they had been hurt. But because they were filled with the Spirit, a different result came about. Did you catch it? What happened? The disciples were filled with what? Joy and the Holy Ghost. Now think about this. The devil wants you to be obsessed with certain things that are not productive. If the disciples were constantly thinking about, oh, they slammed the door in our feet, in our face, they moved us out, they said all terrible things about us, they lied about us, they did this or that. If you spend your time thinking about those things, and that's what the devil wants you to do, you won't have the joy of the Lord. God wants you to have His joy. His joy. And if you obsess with what the devil did, then that takes away that joy. They are some pretty big rocks to put into that cup. They're big pebbles, big stones. And they need to be removed quickly so that you don't obsess about things that are taking glory away from God. I mean, there were all sorts of things that they should have been thinking about. What one of them is, they didn't kill us. They didn't kill us. Another is, we planted a seed of the Word everywhere we went in that territory. We let them know that there is one Savior, that there's one answer, and His name is Jesus. And, you know, they could look at the positive things, or they could be obsessed by influence from Satan. And that would be these stones and pebbles that just kept filling up that cup. But it says they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. There are degrees of filling, as we mentioned. And it really is important for us to not be satisfied with just a little bit. Some of you have taken long trips in an automobile. And before you leave home, you go to the gas station. And you put the nozzle into the gas tank and you press the lever, the valve, and you hear gasoline going in. And you hear it for 10, 15 seconds and you say, wait a second. I got enough. And you take out the handle and you put it back into the gas dispenser and then you take on off. Another person going in the very same direction as you are pulls up right behind you. He comes to the very same pump, gets the handle out, puts it into the gas tank and it stands there. It seems to be like 5 or 10 minutes with that gas flowing into that gas tank. Simple question. Which one do you think is going to get further? The one that gets filled. The one that gets filled. One of the very important things that God commands us. Yeah, God gives us commands, is to be filled with the Spirit. It's not something to play around with. It's not something to laugh at, make a joke of. It isn't something to imitate when you don't have the real thing. But it is something to seek because God said to seek it. So let me encourage you today to realize, and if we had that table out here, the flames would be going, you'd be able to see better, but I want you to imagine in your minds that one flame where the Holy Spirit knows whether you are filled or not filled. And He's going to testify at the judgment seat of Christ. You can fool people. You can deceive yourself, but you can never deceive God. Let me encourage you to be obedient to Him. You'll be able to do more. You'll be able to accomplish things that will last for eternity if you only submit to Him. It's going to require some getting your hand in the water and getting rid of pebbles and stones. Saying, Lord, I don't want them in my life. Lord, I want You to fill me. And if you do that and you ask the Lord, I mean, He's already there. The Holy Spirit's already there. But He wants to fill you. And there is a difference between simply being there and filling you. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. We thank You that the very promises that You gave in Your word are still the same. Lord, we thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within each one of us who are saved. But Lord, we want more of You. We need more of You. Lord, help us to empty ourselves of self so that there's room for You. And Father, we give You the praise for what You accomplish in our lives and how You work through us more mightily, more effectively when You're in control. And we give You the thanks for each one that's here tonight. I pray that they might rejoice in the promises that You give to us. I pray that throughout the week they'd be reminded of Your faithfulness and how You can use them. Some have been told, well, they didn't go to Bible college. They didn't go to Bible Institute. They didn't take any specialized courses. But Lord, when Your Spirit filled those believers on the day of Pentecost, they didn't either. But You were able to use them and work through them. Bless Your people tonight. I pray that they might see Your hand working through them more and more this week. And we give You the praise for what You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.